This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, it's the week before Christmas 2017, and I'm going to share a message with you this week that was actually given in November at Lebanon Presbyterian Church in Lebanon, Ohio, where Peter Larson is the minister. Peter asked me to speak on the subject, "Who's your master?" from Luke 16, 10 through 15, where Jesus says some pretty dramatic things about serving masters in your life, that we can't serve two masters. We'll hate one and love the other, or we will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. It doesn't get any more explicit than that. Let's begin with part one of this message, again given in Lebanon, Ohio, in November. A fitting message right before Christmas. God bless you as you listen. I want to talk to you today about who your master is in your life right now in 2017. When I preached in June about surrendered prayer life, I remember saying this, that everybody surrenders to somebody. You do, and so do I. Everybody has a master. You do, and so do I. Tell me who you listen to, whose voice you respond to, and that's your voice. How many dog owners here? People have a dog. We've never owned a dog. We're goldfish people. We just don't have dogs. But I read an article about people who own dogs that usually in the average family with a dog, there is one voice in particular that the dog will respond to. It may be the husband, it may be the wife, it may be one of the sons or one of the daughters. But there's a voice that that dog instantly responds to. You can think about who the voice is in your family. I want to tell you today as I begin, there's a voice you answer to. It's your master. And Jesus sets out the choice, and it's not multiple choice, it's two choices. Either you serve money, you serve things, or you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, is it really that simple? Yes, it is, and you know it, and so do I. I want us to reread the scripture because I'm going to do a little verse by verse of Luke 16, beginning at verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters, Jesus said. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. The Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. It literally means they raised their noses at him, lifted up their eyes. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." Well, I firmly believe there are scriptures that kind of cut to the chase in my life. How about you? This is one of them. It cuts to the chase of what really matters. It cuts to the core of what really is important. It's either money or it's the Lord. And even though that may offend you, it may offend me to think it's that simple, it is that simple. We'll continue with part two tomorrow. That's crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Well, if you listened to Cross Hope yesterday, you know that we pulled away from the Jeremiah series to have a message right before Christmas on Who's Your Master from Luke 16. It was a message I actually gave in November of this year at Lebanon Presbyterian Church, Lebanon, Ohio, where good friend Peter Larson is the minister. Let's continue with part two of this message, asking the rhetorical question, who's your master? God bless you as you listen.
Whoever can be trusted with very little, Jesus said, can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. My dad was honest to a fault. You may have heard that. Did you know there's a new term, and I really mean this, a psychological term. It's called pathological honesty. I'd never heard that before. People who are honest to a fault, meaning the pathology having to do with abnormal, and they're just abnormally honest. Let me give you a humorous example from one author. He said that if a wife asked her husband, "Do I look fat in this dress?" If he's pathologically honest, he says, "Without a doubt, sweetheart." Without a doubt. But if he's not, he tempers that announcement. Or he says, which I thought was interesting, "We're not going to play this game. We're going to play a different game. We're not going to play this game," which I thought was a pretty good answer. If a woman is pathologically honest and honest to a fault, her husband may say, "Do you think my hair is thinning?" She might say, "You know that bad spot in the neighbor's yard where the dogs run up 24/7? That's your hair." You know, that's pathologically honest. My dad was so honest, and I still remember this. You can ask my brother and my two sisters for other examples, and they'll give them to you. I remember being at a fast food restaurant where my dad went in and got a sack of hamburgers and a sack of French fries. We were driving away, probably a block or two, and one of my siblings said, "Hey, Dad, they gave us an extra French fry." Who knows what my dad did? Turned around and went back. I would have eaten the fry. I confess it to you right now. I would have eaten the fry. But he was honest to a fault. But may I share something very serious with you? Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. I didn't worry about my dad and his credibility. I didn't worry about my dad and his honesty. I didn't worry about my dad and his integrity. Why? Because he was honest and truthful and accountable with little things. Therefore, Jesus said, you will be honest and accountable and have integrity with the big things. Now, my question to you is, what do verses 10 and 11 say about you or about me? Can you be honest and trustworthy with little things? Can you be honest and trustworthy with little so that the Lord says, I can trust you with much? And then verse 12 says, and if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? I've got news for you. Everything is somebody else's property. We don't own anything. You know, the only way you can say you own things is if you're going to live forever, but you're not, and neither am I. You're not going to live forever, and nothing is permanent. It's all temporary. Everything we have, the house, the car, the clothes, it's all temporary because it's all on loan to you and to me. I've got news for you. Everything is somebody else's property. We don't own anything. You know, the only way you can say you own things is if you're going to live forever, but you're not, and neither am I. You're not going to live forever, and nothing is permanent. It's all temporary. Everything we have, the house, the car, the clothes, it's all temporary because it's all on loan to you and to me. And one of the most spiritual Kodak moments in a man or woman's life is when they wake up and say, this doesn't make any difference eternally. It doesn't make any difference eternally. I don't know who this man is. His name is J-I-S-U. Yisu would be that a correct way of pronouncing. He's from New Jersey. He says, I turned on the TV and watched a local show in New Jersey about Make Me a Millionaire. It's about the lottery like every city or state has. The announcer reads a list of winning numbers. The first number is, my legs were trembling and teeth were chattering because I got all the same numbers. I won the lottery. Then I woke up. It was only a dream. People might think this dream left me with a sense of futility, but it did not. Right before I woke up, I realized money is not absolutely necessary in my life. It can't control everything. And then he says this. This man's very insightful. Family can't be formed by money. Doesn't matter how much money you have, you can't form and create a family bond with money. And if you've tried, you know you're wrong. You can't form a family with money. He said, money can't change my past. And then he tells some things that happened in his past that I'm not going to go into. And he says, money has nothing to do with changing the past. Only the Lord can deal with that. And then he said, you can't buy time, true love, health with money. And he's right. You can't buy time, true love, or health with money. And I want to come to this most significant statement that this is why I'm here today, to talk about what Jesus said next in verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Isn't that pretty presumptuous of Jesus to say you can't serve God and money? He was right. It was presumptuous, but truthfully presumptuous. He knew, and he knows. Jack Hayford, who preaches in Van Nuys, California, or used to, you probably remember Jack Hayford from your days out in California, Peter, said one of the most offensive and insightful things at the same time. Have you ever been offended, but say, man, he's right. He said, your relationship to your money has more to do with your submission to the Lordship of Christ and to your rebellion against the Lordship of Christ more than anything else. Where did Jack Hayford get that? From this verse. You can't serve both God and money. And your money and your relationship to money and my relationship to money has more to say about my submission to the will of God and Christ Himself or my rebellion to the will of God.
Well, this is a message from Luke 16. It was given in November at Lebanon Presbyterian Church. Peter Larson is a senior pastor there. We'll continue tomorrow with this message. I think it speaks to you. It speaks to me. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you as you continue to listen tomorrow.
Fred Craddock was a professor of preaching at Vanderbilt University. I think he retired as a Methodist minister in Cherry Log, Georgia. He was a great writer, great preacher. But he tells about his childhood, and I want to share this story. When he was growing up, his father would have nothing to do with the church. His dad would say, oh, they're just a bunch of hypocrites down at the church. They're just a bunch of phonies. All they want is my money. So Fred Craddock said his dad never went to church. But the time came, I think in the 90s, when Fred Craddock was called back to his home in Tennessee to visit dad at his home. His dad was dying of cancer, throat cancer. Fred Craddock said he walked into the bedroom and to see his dad couldn't speak. The walls of the room were covered with notes and cards from those phonies down at the church. We love you. We're praying for you. We're thinking about you. And just covered. And Fred Craddock said it when he came into the room, he started walking through the note. Oh, I remember him and I remember her. Is she still alive? And he went through the list with his mother. And his dad couldn't speak, and his dad was watching him go over the cards and letters of affirmation and blessing to the man who's dying of throat cancer. And Fred Craddock said his dad motioned for a pen, and he gave him a pen, and then instead of asking for a notepad, he just pointed to the box of Kleenex. And Fred thought, well, he needs a Kleenex, gave him the box of Kleenex. And Fred's dad wrote on the box of Kleenex these words, "I was wrong. I was wrong." Someday, you may get to the end of your life and the thoughts are going to go through your mind of the words of Jesus in Luke 16, 10 through 15 about you can't serve two masters. And I wonder how many men, how many women in their spirits are going to say, "I was wrong. I listened to the wrong voice. I responded to the wrong voice. I answered the wrong voice." Because you see, Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. I want to close by reading the rest. Verse 14, the Pharisees who loved money heard this and were sneering at Jesus. It literally means they lifted up their noses at Jesus. You know the look. Do you know why you know the look? Because you've given it. And so have I. Somebody's given that look to you where they lift up their head at you in contempt. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but listen to this, underline this if you underline in your Bible, but God knows your heart. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." You have a decision to make today. You really do, and so do I. Whose voice am I going to respond to? Who's my master? Because you serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil. It may be the Lord, Bob Dylan said, but you got to serve somebody. He's right.
Well, I'm going to ask you to make every effort to hear the conclusion of this message tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Thanks for listening to CrossHope.
Some of you remember a singer, Bob Dylan. Maybe Peter's quoted these lyrics before. It's one of the most famous songs of Bob Dylan. You got to serve somebody. You may wear cotton, you may wear silk. You may drink whiskey, you may like milk. You may eat caviar, or you may eat just bread. You may sleep on the floor or on a king-size bed, but you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You may like to give. You may like to take. You may be a businessman. You may own the bank. You may be a landlord or live in another country under a different name, but you've got to serve somebody. You've got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Where did Bob Dylan get that? From the Word of God. You cannot serve God and money, and neither can I. And the choice you make today, November 2017, is which is it? Which voice do I respond to, the voice of God or the voice of money? Just like I use the illustration of the pets, which do you respond to? What does money say about your relationship to the master? Let me say that again. What does money say about your relationship to the master, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And I've actually heard people say, well, why does Jesus demand me responding to his voice? Why does Jesus want to be my master? And here's what I say. Because he died for you. That's why. He died on a cross, and the one who died on a cross for you has the gall to say, I'm your master, and you're my servant. And the next time you question that, remember the cross. The next time you question, I have trouble with that, look at the cross, and look at what happened on the cross. Your sins were nailed to the cross. Do you get that? Do I get that? My sin, not the sins of the world in general, but my sins in particular, were nailed to the cross, and that's the one who asked to be my master. You know, I realized in looking over my ministry that so much of my preaching is calling people to decision. That's what it is. Preaching is not a nice person getting up and sharing nice things to nice people and have a good lunch at Wendy's. We'll see you next week. Preaching is calling people. Decide. Decide who is the Lord of your life. Decide what matters in life. Decide what voice you're going to listen to. And ultimately decide. Three words. Jesus is Lord. He's either the Lord of everything or he's the Lord of nothing. Would you go home with that? He's either the Lord of everything or he's the Lord of nothing. Which is it for you? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for speaking to us through Luke 16 today. There's somebody who came here today and had no intention of being impacted by a message from your word, but they have been because of the power of your word. Your word does not return to you void, meaning it produces a response. And your word reaches to the deepest recesses of a person's being. It goes to places that we didn't even know existed in our conscience and in our spirit. Help us to respond to the voice, your voice. You're the master, not us.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.